Well, the Lord is good, and His mercy does endure forever. His goodness can be seen all over the earth. There's always been the opportunity to see and to know that He is God. And so we say, thank you, Lord, that we can see and know that you are God. Amen? And that we can be led, directed by the Spirit of God ever deeper into the goodness of God. All of the leadership that God gives us is giving, not taking. He takes nothing. He's a giver, not a taker. He's a promise maker, not a promise breaker. And the more that we become caught up in that, then the more we desire to seek Him. It seems as though some of the prayers that were prayed in the Bible and some of the prayers that we find ourselves praying don't seem like they should be prayers we need to pray, but they are prayers we need to pray. Lord, lead me deeper. Lord, give me understanding. Lord, help me to love you more. Love you more perfectly. Now, it would seem that as good as he is, that he wouldn't have help us to do that, and yet we know that David said, Lord, help me. And so we want to be caught up in the Lord. You know that when the Lord spoke to me, when I heard him talking about distractions becoming attractions and interruptions becoming eruptions, there's many directions that can go. You know, there are things that interrupt our life, and if we focus on those interruptions, it can cause an eruption. We can talk ourselves into being more angry. We can talk ourselves into being more fearful. We can talk ourselves into being bitter. We can talk ourselves into being greedy. We can talk ourselves into a lot of things. Because there are little things that will interrupt. I know a man that one time the Lord was speaking to him about giving to the Lord, and he was interrupted by an accusation from his child. And because of that accusation from his child, or that interruption from his child, it caused an eruption in his life because he listened to his child rather than to God, and rather than sowing his way out of trouble, he robbed God into trouble, where a little interruption became an eruption. And so we need to have wisdom so that we don't follow those interruptions down the road to an eruption. And eruptions are explosions. They are things that can cause great problems in a family. If I let an interruption turn into an eruption, it can cause an explosion between my wife and I. But there are the other interruptions, and those are interruptions by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit goes, and if we will follow that interruption, we will erupt in prayer, we will erupt in praise, we will erupt in things that destroy the enemy, because in Galatians it says that the Spirit of God and the spirit of the world are continually in a battle. And so the Spirit of God is leading us into truth, and the spirit of the world is trying to lead us away from truth. And so we can have distractions created by the enemy, and if we follow his distractions, they end up becoming an attraction. And if we become attracted to his distractions, it leads to destruction. For instance, If you're watching TV and a commercial comes on, we'll take an easy and an obvious one. The Victoria's Secret commercial comes on, okay? The Victoria's Secret commercials now are what Playboy was when I was a child. And they flash these things across the screen. They're distracting, okay? The thing is that the whole idea of that is to distract people into becoming attracted to their product. But that's not what most people are attracted to. Those distractions can become things where a man can cease to be so concerned about watching the program, they become attracted to that commercial. If they become attracted to that commercial, it's not too hard to figure out that they can become attracted to more. For instance, when the swimsuit issue comes out for Sports Illustrated, they send out emails. This last year, Bill Johnson, who is a guy who is very much opposed to all of that stuff, he wrote a letter about the fact that the swimsuit issue was out, and it was really out, and that the women were pretty much out of their swimsuits, and he was talking about that, and the enemy tried to distract me and say, well, you should look at that so that you know what it is. He even had a link to it so that you could prepare yourself to fight this. Okay, that might be fine for me, but to somebody else, that link's what they've been looking for. I've been hearing about this. I've been distracted about this. I've really been kind of attracted to this, and there it is. And so that distraction, if we let it become an attraction, leads to destruction. And it's just that easy. And that same scenario can be added to just about anything. That's just an obvious one. But we can be distracted. We can be distracted by a thought, about a judgment about somebody else. And we can be distracted by that thought, and then we can begin to be attracted to that thought. And pretty soon, we've got that thought all figured out. And that distraction becomes our attraction. It becomes the thing that we look at. It becomes the thing that we think about. It's the thing that consumes us. And that leads to destruction. And so the Spirit of God also offers distractions that are intended to attract us to the Word of God. When David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God, have you ever noticed that if you will begin to speak the word of God, that the word of God begins to attach itself to other words of God? And it begins to be a flow of the word of God. Now, if somebody, a lot of the flow of the word of God that comes out of me, if somebody said, where can I find that? I would say, read the Bible. Because I don't know where all of the things that are hidden in my heart are hidden. I can't always tell if it's Jeremiah or Isaiah. I can usually tell if it's Paul, so that narrows it down. They only have to read about half the New Testament, but they'll have it. I can kind of tell which ones were in the Gospels, so I can say, read the Gospels. That's only four books. But you will note that it strings itself. It attaches itself to another word. It becomes a line upon a line and a precept upon a precept. It becomes an explanation. It becomes a declaration. It becomes something that we can actually speak ourselves happy and victorious. I can remember many, many years ago that going to a pastor's conference, and at that pastor's conference, there was a guy, I think his last name was Weed, and this guy could quote chapters and books of Scripture. And we got into a van, I can remember, and somebody said, Roy Weed maybe, anyway, it doesn't matter about the name, and someone said, you know, told him to do this. Well, I'd never heard of this guy, and I didn't know anything about it. But he just started to quote like he was reading the Bible. And he just had it memorized. But here's the deal. A person can have the word memorized and not know a thing about what it says. It's not that, but it's the spirit of the word that makes the difference. It's the spirit in which we operate that makes the difference. And so the Lord wants us to be aware. The Bible tells us to be aware, be apprised, be informed about the wiles of the devil. To recognize from where the distractions come. Is something distracting you to attract you to something that exalts itself against the truth of God's word? And believe me, because it was in the book, and we know the devil even used scripture to try to distract Jesus from what Jesus was intending to do. Peter tried to distract Jesus from what Jesus was going to do, and Jesus recognized what he was doing. He knew that Peter was kind of well-intentioned, but he said, Peter, you got to recognize what spirit you're coming from. If we're coming from a spirit that is in opposition to the Word of God, then we're being distracted and attracted to the wrong thing. If we find ourselves needing to justify our position, we are being distracted and attracted to something other than the Word of God, because we don't have to justify our position if we are walking in the truth. But if we become distracted by that adjustment of things, then we become attracted to it, and we find a way to become more and more fluent in fighting against that. For instance, okay, now I can do this here. Some pastors would hesitate to do it, but I wouldn't hesitate to do it anywhere. When churches give credence to the idea of same-sex marriage, they are feeding the enemy's family. Okay? And with enough effort, they become so distracted by that idea that they become attracted to justification of it. Now, I think I mentioned this before in passing, but I read this email, and the email was about a young man who was raised in church. His parents were the pastors of the church, and he became distracted by the idea that he wasn't comfortable in his boy flesh, and he became attracted to boys. And because of that, he began to search the Bible. And he managed to figure out from the Bible that God would have nothing against same-sex marriage. And this distraction attracted his parents' opinion. His parents decided that probably they shouldn't be in opposition to that. And because they weren't in opposition to that, now they had a son who was so wise that he could distract them from what they were supposed to. And pretty soon they're attracted to it. And so now the guy's writing books and people are saying, well, yeah, maybe he's right. He's not right. He's not right. I'm sorry. He just is not right. Because the Bible says that it's not right. And we can't get around that. And I won't be distracted or attracted to something that God says is wrong and feel like, well, out of love, you know? I love enough to tell the truth. And that's what we have to be prepared to realize, that what happens, that's how that happened. People became distracted by the lie, became attracted to the lie. And the next thing they were is they were saying, well, you know, more people are more comfortable around me now. Okay? And that's not a sin that leads unto death. It's something that can be changed. The Spirit of God can change that. And we should pray for that. But you see, we can just get caught just as deeply in the deception. We can love the sinner without condoning the sin. And in so doing, we can help them out. To love them. You know, parents, we are inclined, we can see what other kids do, but we have a hard time seeing our own sometimes. You know? And my kids will tell you that probably as a pastor, I'm so busy looking at my kids that I love other kids anyway, but I want certain things out of my children. And I have to be cautious of that too. That I don't become so distracted by a little thing that I become attracted to the little thing and I forget about the big thing. This is my commandment, that you love one another. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And so I don't have malice toward the people that are caught up in those lies. I do border on malice toward the people that are supposed to know better, that condone it, because God was a little upset with that kind of shepherding. You see, because, I mean, hey, if anything goes, then anything goes. You know? I don't like my neighbor, I'll kill my neighbor. I gave my child 6 years to start obeying me, time for him to go. You know, now, in the natural, people would say that's just crazy. But isn't that what happens? And so we've got all of these things to distract us that ultimately can become an attraction. And back some time ago when we talked about keeping our focus, keeping it on the Lord. Continue to think about these things. You see, when we let the Word of God become the thing that distracts us from the things that are not God, now then we're thinking on the things that are right and just and pure and true and lovely and good report. Did any of you notice what the kids did with the sign today? I first looked at it and it said, "Signs broken, message inside," and I went to look at the sign because I thought somebody broke into the sign. And two of the screws aren't tight, just the middle one is. I pulled that, I said, man, somebody must have got into the sign. Then I looked at the other side. Now the other side, same as it was. And the sign worked. And then I read the sign again. I said, oh, I get it. Complete with little letters sitting the wrong way. You know, but I didn't get it at first. I thought the sign was broken into. Yeah, they're a dynamic duo. A dynamic duo, you know? But in that case, what first distracted me attracted me to find out more. And when I found out more, it was okay. See, we have to be cautious of where the distractions are coming from. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's why it is so important that the Word is hidden in our heart so that we can recognize what spirit it is of. You know, Jesus didn't patronize Peter when Peter said, "No, no, you can't do that." Jesus didn't say, "No, Peter, I know, honey, I know you love me, and I know that you only mean the best. I know, Peter, you meant well." He didn't say anything like that. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what spirit you're from." Whoa. You know? He didn't give Peter an opportunity to have some ammunition to go to all the rest of the disciples and justify where he came from. Well, you know, Jesus wasn't really upset with me because, well, he understood that I just wanted the best for him. Oh, no. No. If Peter wanted to retell that story, he had a story to tell to the other disciples. Don't waver. I spoke without thinking, and Jesus called me the devil. So let's not waver. Let's not even think about it. Let's not even be attracted to any of those things. Let's just let me tell you, when Jesus says to you, "Get behind me, Satan," it's a real experience. You see, there was only one way to handle that, and only one way that it could be repeated. Now, some people could try to soften that and sweeten that and say, you know, I mean, there's some people who think that Jesus was just pretty hard on him. If we are distracted and thinking and acting the wrong way, wouldn't it be best if we were suddenly changed in our direction? That's kind of like Dr. Lowry when he was talking and telling the policeman that he did stop, and the policeman said, "No, you didn't, you just slowed down." And you know, and then his illustration is the policeman began to hit him with a stick. "Now, do you want me to stop or just slow down?" You know? Do we want to idle and go along just a little further in our deception, or would it be best if we just got pulled up short? I don't want the Lord to miss a loop, you know, when they team rope. One gets the head and one gets the feet. I don't want the Lord to miss a loop. I don't want him to catch my head and have my feet on going on ahead of me. Nor do I want the Lord to catch me my feet and have my head keep wandering beyond. Our minds, man, we got minds that just are speedboats. Our minds can just... They can run in a good direction or they can run in a bad direction. And we need to recognize, you know, we need to recognize if we're distracted. I get up in the morning to do my devotions and I'm reading my Bible and I'm reading it on my touchpad, and at the very top of it, little messages come in telling me about what somebody said on some other message. And it's a distraction. It's not a fatal distraction, but it's a distraction, and after enough of them come in, it becomes an attraction, and I just check to see what's been said. And somebody will have a scripture posted on Facebook, and so I'll hit the Facebook app, and up will come that scripture. But then pretty soon there's a whole bunch of distractions there that other people have said. And then there's a news story, and you know, there's all of that, and I'm sitting and I'm going, "No, we ain't going there." Punch the Bible app again and get back to the Bible. But that distraction's always there. Those little feeds coming across. And those little feeds, those are those places where you find out, you know, sometimes they got this deal, and over on the side they got these apps about a French thing that's exposed by the French or some great finding, and they always advertise those with babes, you know. These things are sitting, I'm going, man alive, this is a trap. It's a trap, and if you don't recognize that it's a trap, you think this is a treasure. And then you go treasure hunting. You know, a lot of people have gone treasure hunting, it killed them. The distractions. Distractions will come. But we can't allow them to become an attraction. Rather, we need to be attracted to something better, because if we're not attracted to something better, we'll just go on down the attraction to something worse, because there's black and white. All of the enemy's distractions are meant to destroy. That's all there is to it. And if he can't destroy us suddenly, he'll destroy us methodically. You know? I mean, I had to make a conscious decision one day. And that conscious decision was that I was going to start my Bible before I checked my phone. That's why sometimes when you text at 6, Judy, I don't answer you till 7, because I made a conscious decision not to check my phone. Now, I realize that I should probably check it in case you have texted earlier, in case it's an emergency, but I thought, if I do, I'll follow the distraction, even though it's a divine distraction. So I had to say to myself, self, I won't do that. And then I will say to the Lord, Lord, if there's anything important, you tell me to check it. But otherwise, I'm staying away from that baby. Because it is real easy. You know, Facebook for me is kind of like my motorcycle used to be. Motorcycles used to be those things that I drove down the road and I said, why in the world would anybody be out there riding one of those when they could be in a nice, comfortable car? And now when I drive by a motorcyclist, I repent for every time I did that. Because they were the smart ones in my estimation now, you know? Well, I used to think Facebook was such a waste of time until I started putting stuff on there and then seeing how people responded. And now it can become a distraction. Now, there isn't a whole lot of it that's an attraction, but you know what? It's like it's something now that I am required to do because people write and they say, you didn't put anything up today. Because people are looking for the scriptures or looking for the little doodads that God puts in my heads, and I got to put one of those up. Okay, put it up and get out of there! You know? Put it up and leave, Roger! And so then you're reading your Bible and this little thing runs across that says, John Spiewak liked what you said. Only I've never gotten one of those, so he apparently doesn't like it. I'm just kidding. You know? But you get the, you know, or somebody that I've never even heard of commented on your comment. I better see what they're saying. No, I better finish my Bible first. Sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. But do you understand that these are certainly a bit obvious examples of how there can be a distraction, and if you allow the distraction to become an attraction, and it's not an attraction that attracts you to God, it's taking you away from God. Now some people will say, well, now that's a little extreme. Well, maybe it is a little extreme. But I'd rather be extremely blessed. And by staying attracted to God, I'm going to be extremely blessed. And if I'm going to be interrupted, I'd rather respond to the interruptions of the Holy Spirit. And if I'm going to erupt, I should erupt in the way that the Word of God says to erupt. I should erupt in prayer, not in blah. Yeah. You know, we had a house full of people that we loved last week at our house. But there were some disruptions that became interruptions that I had to fight to keep from being an eruption. You know? Because did you know that not everybody does everything the way that I like? Isn't that something? Now, has that ever happened to any of you? And if you become enough interrupted by it and enough disrupted by it and you begin to follow that trail, you could be convinced that they're doing it on purpose, sent from the devil to take you to hell. You know, because you can just, you know, you can just start to just massage it a little bit. Did you see what they did? I'll bet. You know. Now that wasn't really the direction that this other one went altogether, but in a lot of situations, that's just exactly the way that it can go. You know, because we begin to suppose that we know what they're thinking and suppose that we know what they're doing. And as we go down that trail, we suppose they're really stupid compared to us. And God don't like stupid, so we should fix it. And we may never fix it, but we've been thinking about it, and if you've thought it in your heart, you may as well have done it. And so, if we will allow it, the Holy Spirit will distract us and attract us to mercy and compassion and to pray. You know, it says pray for one another. It doesn't say fix one another. You know? Have you ever tried to fix somebody? How does it work? How does it work? You know, I have my wife so well trained that she's always right. Yep, and she just always is. Because it's not beneficial for me to, at least out loud, think that she's not. You know, and that, I mean, I'm not saying that derogatorily. It's just that's how good of a job I've done of training her. Now, that's about the only way that I can think that it's okay is if I take credit for making her so good. No. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Put that one down, though, John. It makes you feel better. Man, I'm good. I'm so good. My wife is always right. Yeah. We're getting ready to take off on our annual Vicky Week. That's the time when we go out to the hills. It's not a whole week, it's a few days. But when we go out there, I do whatever she wants and cannot complain. In fact, I don't even have an idea of complaining. I go out there with the idea I'm going to love whatever she wants, I'm going to love it. And that's just how it's going to be. It works out pretty well. Yeah. Yeah. Now, she's never suggested, Roger, this works so well, we should have a Roger week. But you know what she did tell me earlier this year? She said, Roger, on our special week, what I want to do is take you to the pawn shops. You did say that. And you can take it back because it doesn't matter. I save money if I don't go to them. You know. But I mean, you know, it's this thing of what are we going to be attracted to? See, and God has given us all the good things to be attracted to. You know? I'm telling you that those girls in the Victoria's Secret ads, they're beautiful girls. They really are. But I believe they're beautiful. I don't have to look at them. Do you understand? God gave all the good and perfect gifts. But we can be distracted and then attracted to the wrong part of the gift. In the same way that we can be distracted by the idea that we've got to fix everything and then attracted to the fixing. And when you're trying to fix everything, nothing gets fixed and that becomes an interruption that ends up in an eruption. And a lot of time is wasted. A lot of energy is wasted. And then a lot of time is wasted trying to make up for it. When you can't make up for it, you might as well just repent and keep going. But it's up to us to have the wisdom. Some people fall apart because of a distraction. And you can't fall apart because of distractions, because distractions will come. You know? The enemy is always trying to distract. And some people give up because they've been distracted. The distraction is not the problem. The problem is when the distraction becomes the attraction. And don't think that you in your whole life will never be interrupted. You will be interrupted. You have been interrupted. Things have interrupted. And not only have they been interrupted, but the interruptions have ended up in eruptions. It's happened, hasn't it? So God, forgive us for all of the eruptions that are the wrong direction eruptions. And God, forgive us for all of the times that we allowed a distraction to become an attraction and it led us to the wrong thing. Just forgive us, Lord, and help us. Help us to be tuned into the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will interrupt when we've been interrupted. And we'll distract when we have been distracted. So that then we, in turn, become attracted to the sweet Holy Spirit. To the wonderful guidance of God. To the way that is right with God. Because the things that are right with God bring peace, not division. They bring hope, not despair. They bring joy, not discouragement. The Lord leads us in a better way. And when we desire that way that He leads us, then we will recognize it's just the distraction. Now listen, those little things that run across to my phone or run across my tab, you know, they aren't necessarily demonic. I don't need to cast the devil out of my machine all the time, okay? But I need to recognize that anything that distracts or detracts and ultimately attracts us to things that are not of God, they need to be taken control of. We need to recognize it. It's just like, sometimes before I made my quality decision, you know, it could take me 2 hours to do 1 hour of devotions. And half of the stuff that was a distraction wasn't terrible. But just one leads to another. Somebody said, then somebody said, then there's this. I get probably, I must get 25 ministry letters a day. And, you know, sometimes I just got to click them off and go, Lord, should I read this one? Because I can be reading about the Bible for an hour and not get to the Bible. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to do those things. I'm just trying to help you to see what the Lord shows me and to be aware of what could be going on that maybe you've already recognized and maybe you knew it before me and that's just fine. But if not, it's something to consider. It's something to consider. I don't want distractions to become the things that attract me. Bad news can be a distraction that ultimately attracts us. Whether it be a doctor's report or a piece of gossip or something that's just absolutely said straight up to us in person. It can become a distraction and it can become an attraction that takes us away from what God wants us to be. And so in James it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Because He loves to give wisdom and He gives it to anyone who asks. But again, it becomes a place of, are we attracted to the wisdom of God? This may come as a shock to you, but the whole world isn't attracted to the wisdom of God. In fact, the world thinks that, you know, I still remember, it was only a couple years before I got saved, was when the big thing, two things happened in a short period of time. One was that they said God was dead, and the other was that Oral Roberts said Jesus was 400 feet tall. Well, I wasn't particularly concerned about how tall Jesus was, but I didn't wish God dead. And I wasn't quite sure how they figured out that He was dead. That was all the deeper I pondered it. But I thought that was kind of a stupid thing for people to say. But they were trying to make God dead. You can't make God dead. He's alive. He's powerful. Just like His word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You know? But a lot of the world wished that God was dead because you know that with God being alive and well, the Holy Spirit still convicts people. The Holy Spirit still tries to distract people with this God stuff. And guess what? By the grace of God, He gets a lot of people distracted. He distracted me until I was attracted to me. He interrupted me until I erupted in praise, and I love him. And I don't want anything to steal that from me. And so if God says, don't let distractions turn into attractions, I'm going to search that out a little. I'm going to ponder that. I go to bed thinking about it. I have ever since he said it. I wake up in the night with more thoughts about it and more understanding about it. And I pray that that's what happens to you too. I pray that you find yourself thinking about it. Is this a distraction for the kingdom or against the kingdom? Should I be attracted to this, or should I watch out that it doesn't become an attraction that takes me down a wrong road? Is this an interruption? Am I going to allow it to turn into an eruption? If it's going to be an eruption, is it going to be an eruption of praise, or is it going to be an eruption of, oh my God, I did it again? In any event, just keep turning to God. In any event, just keep your hearts and your minds and your attraction on the one who drew you in the first place. And be blessed. Be blessed knowing that truly he does have good plans for you, a plans for a future and for a hope. And that if you are held captive by anything, he is the deliverer. If you are sick, he is the healer. If you need help, he is the helper. Think on these things. Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, you bless us, oh, with a multitude of blessings. Just to know you, just to have you. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I have learned that everything else is useless in comparison to knowing you. And Lord, this is the thing that we are thankful for, that those Christians that are being evacuated, murdered, destroyed, those who left with nothing have everything because they have you. And we pray that they would be comforted with that and that they would be completely restored. And we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have, for the life that we have in Christ Jesus.